Hear the word of God. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. The wicked are not so, but are like the chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. This is God's holy and infallible word. Beloved in the Lord, the psalmist draws for us a picture in this introductory psalm of the wicked and the wise. It's a picture of the battle of the seeds. If you want to go back to Galatians or Genesis chapter 1, where there is, or chapter 3, where there is the distinction between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. The psalm is a practical psalm as well. It's one that holds together the information that is the lead in to the rest of the Psalter, and the lead in to the Psalter is in the focus of this psalm, which focuses upon the Torah. That is the word that means instruction, wisdom for life. And in the wisdom for life, the psalmist says simply this: there are two ways. There's the way of the righteous, there's the way of the wicked. And that is the distinction that holds throughout this first psalm. And it leads us to the second psalm, which is the second part of the introduction to the psalm. And that second psalm speaks of the majesty and the glory of the Lord's Messiah, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And its focus is the gospel in the King who is set forth in Psalm 2. And together they have both the law and the gospel together in this introduction to show us what our fellowship with God should look like. And the psalmist then begins by saying, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. That man is blessed when he doesn't walk and sit and stand. Those are the verbs in that passage. Those are the words that speak of the pathway down which a person will sin. He will, first of all, not walk in the counsel of the wicked. This is the righteous man that he's speaking of. He'll refuse to accept the advice of the wicked, of the world. He'll refuse to expose himself to ideas and attitudes of those who place no thought of God in their minds, but who think that they have arrived and that they have the answer. The psalmist says he won't get instruction or counsel from those who do not love and reverence God. Certain things will be for him as a believer out of bounds. The man who sets his heart on the resolute path of godliness will avoid all evil. He will determine to be different in the realm of his thinking. You know, your thinking can be completely different from your acting, can it? People might not know you by what you think, but they probably will know you by what you do. But here it includes a person's thinking. He finds in his mind and in his heart those things from God's word that direct his life. He derives purpose for his life from the principles that he learns from the word of God. He will not be led into the path of evil or destruction. Whereas today, we look around, the world tells us what? Just be happy. Indulge yourself. Enjoy your sin. You know, if you could summarize what a television commercial is like today, you could pretty well summarize most of them by saying, just enjoy your sin, because a lot of them are aimed in that direction. The ungodly, however, is miserable. We'll see that in a moment. But the godly man, the righteous man, he will not walk in the counsel of the wicked. He will not stand in the way of sinners. And there's a progression here from simply walking, now standing. When you stand, you're still. And when you're still, you're in the presence of either what's good or evil. He will not stand in the presence of those that are evil, characterized by sin. He'll refuse and he'll stop to associate with rebellious offenders who miss the mark. That's what sinners are. They do not follow God's word. He does not want his moral sense to be blunted. He does not want his conscience to become weak and flabby, where eventually he'll give in. He does not stand in the way of sinners. To stand in the company of sinners would indicate that the person has lost some of his sensitivity to sin. And the godly, righteous man will not. He is determined to have no cause with those who miss God's mark. He will be different in the realm of his behavior. To the unsaved person, the way of sinners may seem wonderful and exciting. It's the track they want to be on. But the psalmist warns that it is actually the fast track to emptiness and to hell. It is the fast track to frustration here, as well as that which is in the life to come. The godly, the righteous man, he will not stand in the way of sinners, and he will not sit in the seat of mockers. So he's going from walking to standing, and now he's sitting. As the old saying goes, he ain't going anywhere. He's sitting. Well, what's he doing while he's sitting? He's listening to mockers. He's listening to the scornful. He's listening to those who are without restraint and have no fear of God's judgment. Isn't that what we see today in those who speak for things that God condemns? They have no fear of God's judgment. So another marriage broken, another life taken away, another thing that's done that God's word tells us not to do, and they have no fear of God because they don't believe in God, or at least they refuse to listen to God. They refuse to listen to the truth of God, but the godly person refuses to deliberately sit, associate with those who mock the truth. They are the deliberate enemies of God. They have the sour heart. They snap, they growl, they like a mongrel dog. Scripture describes the mocker as one who reviles, who is contemptuous, insulting, reproachful, and blasphemous. Does that remind you of what you hear in our society of those who care not, believe not, that don't want anything to do with the word of God? The mocker is characterized as being incapable of discipline, incapable of rebuke, unable to find wisdom, and he is on the route of arrogance that will lead him to an eternity in hell. The godly man will not be seated in that assembly, and he will be blessed because he refuses to walk, sit, or stand with those who would pull him down and bring him to that place of dishonoring God. The godly man guards against the earliest tendency in that direction. The road is downhill all the way, and he needs to know that ahead of time so that he can avoid taking that path. And we need to see the godly man here as the scripture points it out. The godly man doesn't do all of these things, and we're sitting here thinking, but yet every person has not been the kind of person that this psalm describes perfectly. There have been some good examples in scripture. There are good kings, David and others, but even with David, there was sin. Even with great kings like Solomon, there was sin. Even with the great kings of all of Israel, no matter who that king was, there was still sin. And the picture that he points us to here is the one who doesn't do that, who walks not, who stands not, who doesn't sit and doesn't associate with scoffers. Who is that person? Well, that can only be one person. That can only be the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only person who has fulfilled that way perfectly. He's the only one that has that righteousness of God that he has received because he obeyed the will of God. What was Christ doing when he was confronted in his earthly ministry. He would tell them simply, my mission is what? To do the will of my Father. His whole life was aimed at doing what God had sent him to do, to go to the cross and die in the place of sinners, so that he might gather to himself a people that he has redeemed by his blood. And those who are redeemed by Jesus Christ and by his shed blood on Calvary's cross are those who can now fulfill in Christ all of these things of the righteous man. You and I, joined to Jesus Christ, are able to be the people who do not walk in the counsel of the wicked, who do not stand in the way of sinners, who do not delight in the law of God, and who do not sit with the seat of scoffers. We can only do that in and through Jesus Christ. He is the one who delighted in the law of God. He is the one who got pleasure out of the reading of God's word. He is the one whose heart was adhering to what God said in Scripture. And he tells us that that is what we must do as well. And through him, we are able to follow that path. We are able to receive that righteous blessing that this person receives. We are able to do what Christ did as well, following the will of God. Remember back with me as we looked at the book of Joshua, as Joshua was given his instruction by the Lord for leading this great people into the Holy Land. And God didn't tell him, on the way you're going to find a lot of Motel 8s, or you're going to find a lot of places where you can do this or that. You're going to be able to get sustenance from this place or that place. What did God tell Joshua to do? He told Joshua, do not let the book of the law, Torah, depart from your mouth. Meditate on it and consider your ways. Don't go to the right, don't go to the left. In other words, stick with Scripture. And as he stuck with Scripture, what happened? Blessing. When he didn't, there was defeat. Remember, they tried to go in. Ai is not a bad place. We can handle it. You only need to send in a little army. And they went in, and what happened? 36 people were killed. They came back like a dog with a tail between his legs. And they said, we can't do it. They had sinned against the Lord. And immediately upon confession of their sin, God said, now go up and do what? Take Ai, for I have given it into your hands. And they defeat the enemy when they obeyed the word of God. And that's the sustained emphasis of all of Scripture, Genesis to Revelation. Hear God's word, obey God's word. What do you read in the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation? Don't add anything to it. Don't take anything away. It says that in the last book of, or the last chapter of Malachi as well. Just listen to God's word. And if you listen to God's word, what's the description of you? Well, go back to Psalm 1. His delight will be in the law of God. On his law, he meditates day and night. What's going to happen to him? He's going to be a tree. This is biblical language. It's a beautiful picture. He's going to be like a tree planted by the streams of water. Now, if you were a tree, where would you want to be planted? Near a lot of water, so that you could do what? You could grow. That's what you are if you are the righteous man. And when you're the righteous man, he's going to yield his fruit in its season. You see the picture developing now of the tree planted by the rivers of water. It's going to produce a harvest. And its leaf does not wither, which wish I could say that about my trees. I've got all these oak trees in my yard. Half of the leaves came down. Now I got to pick up the next half in the next few weeks because they're going to come out with the new foliage that comes on, and I'm going to have to pick up those leaves. But here it speaks of a tree whose leaf does not even wither. Why will it not wither? Because it's sustained. It's got what it needs for growth and for blessing. It's a productive tree, a delight to its owner. It has come near that nourishment of life, of living water. And we are to be like that righteous man, like Abraham, who said we are righteous by faith, because it's by faith in Jesus Christ, who is the righteous one, who did not walk, stand, or sit in the council path or seat of the wicked, the one who himself fulfilled the law of the Heavenly Father, who was obedient to him in all that he did, day and night. He told his disciples, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." He looked to Scripture, he followed Scripture, he depended upon Scripture, and in Scripture he found the strength that he needed to live that perfect and holy life. He was the one who would not walk in the counsel of the wicked, stand in the way of sinners, sit in the seat of the scornful, because that righteousness that he received is the righteousness that we receive in him. And when we ask, how can I apply Psalm 1? How can Psalm 1 apply to me in Christ? I have to first believe that there was one righteous man, the Lord Jesus Christ, and then acknowledge that anyone united to him, that's me, receives the blessings that he has secured. What are those blessings? Forgiveness and glory, salvation and sanctification, and the blessing of God's presence in my life. And then in Christ, who is like a tree and we are branches united to that tree, John tells us in John's Gospel, the 15th chapter, we can also meditate upon the law of God. We can also delight in it, and it will yield the fruit of righteousness in its season in our hearts and in our lives. We need to rejoice that Christ is the blessed and righteous person that this psalm speaks of, that by his life, death, resurrection, and ascension makes us what we have been declared by faith alone in him to be, a righteous and a fruit-bearing people. Isn't that how God looks at us in Jesus Christ? He doesn't sort of peek down from heaven and look down at us and go, "Oh, they did it again." Now, I do that as a parent. You've done that as a parent too. Maybe you had your parents say it to you. "You did that 3 years ago and you did it again." You know, God will never do that. Why not? Because on a hill called Mount Calvary, Jesus died to bear the wrath of God, the punishment of God upon your sin for all eternity. And he doesn't go back on his promise. He doesn't say to you, "Oh, you didn't live up to what I told you to be." He simply says, "Hear my word. Look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our salvation. Look unto the one who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you even ask or think, and you will find the blessing of God." That's what we are to see in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we have in this passage. And it's in great contrast with the picture of the ungodly. We only should take a minute or two on the ungodly in this passage. But it says there, the character, the conduct, and the destiny of the ungodly is the person who chooses to keep God out of his life. Is he like a tree planted by the rivers of water? No, he's worthless chaff. Worthless chaff. Chaff is that stuff that blows away with the wind. And then the grain settles and you have what you need. But the chaff just blows away. It's like dust. Do you know dust does not have roots? You might think it does because it's all over the house or, you know, places that it shouldn't be. But you just get it, wipe it away, it's gone. Chaff, gone. No root in the ungodly. In Scripture, doesn't want anything to do with it. It is the earth crumbled and reduced to nothing. It is the parching of the sun that comes upon it. It's dead and dry and driven away by the wind. There's no stability. There's no permanence. And in the hour of judgment, ultimate doom. That's what we see in the conduct here of the ungodly, the one who does not meditate upon the law of God, avoid sinners, the one who is destined to collapse, destined to be expelled out of life into the kingdom of eternal hell in that last hour, facing the righteous judge, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will say to those on his right hand, "Welcome to those others, depart from me for all eternity." Now bring this home to your own heart and your own life. If you're in Jesus Christ, it applies to you. If this is whom you trust in, the Lord Jesus Christ, then he is the one that has fulfilled the psalm perfectly, and through him you are able to live in the light of God's truth. Do you live in the light of God's truth? What is the picture of your life like? Where do you walk? Where do you stand? Where do you sit? Do you avoid the ungodly like the righteous individual in this passage? Are you like the one who follows God's law and turns his back against all things so that he might serve the Lord? The psalmist puts a picture here of two different destinies for humanity. There are the two ways. We'll see that frequently in the Psalms. The two pictures, the two ways. The righteous and the ungodly. May the Spirit of God lead you to that life in Jesus Christ, to live it with the fullest of devotion to the law of God by the surrender of your hearts to him. And may you find the blessedness of the life of the one whose ways are known and loved by the Lord. It speaks of that in the last verse. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. He ends as he begins. He gives us the end of life here at the first of the Psalms. He tells us what it's all about. And we all ought to want to be on the path of the righteous, the Lord Jesus Christ. May he give us that grace for his glory. Amen.